We are exactly halfway through the 8 o'clock hour on a Wednesday Mornings with Ed program. I'm delighted that you're here this morning. My thanks again to Laureen Gilbert, the CEO and president of Wealthwise Financial Services. Always great to talk to her. And we do that, by the way, every single Wednesday at 8 o'clock, and we'll continue to do so until we see our economy at the other end of this tunnel here. Scientifically, though, other things to talk about. I know I've been the bearer of bad news in recent weeks with just about everything, I tell you, with the science behind this thing. And I mentioned how difficult it was to achieve herd immunity a couple of days ago and that we may not achieve it. But there is an alternative. There's kind of an answer there. And I went right to the source. I went to a scientist to get a lot of this stuff late last night. So it's been a rough week in the middle of what is an incredibly rough year for us. And after all of us have made so many sacrifices, serious sacrifices, to stem the spread of COVID-19, what we did was we let our guard down. We did. We, as individuals and as a community, let our guard down. And what little and what lack of leadership and communication we got from the White House in the early days of this pandemic, what little we had, it's gone. They've turned their backs on it. So it really has been up to us, certainly here in the last several weeks or whatever. The U.S. has now seen a surge in new infections with highs exceeding 60,000 cases yesterday. And hospital beds in certain hotspots, well, they're approaching capacity right now. New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, they fought hard in April and May to get this under control. And the governors of those states, having learned their lessons, they're now approaching their reopening plans slowly and carefully assessing the situation before they move on to each phase. They're being really, really careful about it. But here in California and Texas and Arizona and Florida, on the other hand, and I'm not specifically including our state with them as far as the early onset of the virus. All four of us, what we have in common with Texas, Arizona, Florida, and California, we dodged the brunt of the early outbreak, only to see a massive uptick in infections recently. So it's clear that we failed to heed the lessons from back east, and we eased our lockdown restrictions too quickly. I've been talking about this for several weeks. I was talking about this when we opened up. I thought it was being too quick. The type of learned response or lack thereof is similar to what we see in our individual immune systems when it comes to fighting viral infections. And here's what I'm getting at. When a pathogen enters the body, the immune system mobilizes a series of cells and proteins in what's called an innate response. It's a general, genetically hardwired immune response that we're all born with. So when we're faced with a low dose of virus, for example, this response can clear the pathogen before it establishes an infection, and we never even know that we were exposed. The downside is that our immune system doesn't learn how to respond more quickly or effectively if we're exposed to that same pathogen later on. Now, our immune system learns from long, hard-fought battles. When we're faced with a high dose of a new virus, the overwhelmed innate system calls in specialist fighter cells, and that's what we'll call them now for the sake of argument, specialist fighter cells for backup. And that's what's known as an adaptive immune response. Now, these cells, they're called B cells and T cells. They have receptors on their surface, like little hairs. They can recognize the structures on pathogens. Now, as pathogens have millions of really unique structures, we need millions of these really unique B and T cells in order to recognize them. Now, it's possible at the time of infection that we only have one B cell or one T cell in our body that recognizes the pathogen. But once these cells do recognize that target, amazing changes take place. When B cells and T cells first recognize the virus, they need to make copies of themselves. They replicate. Each time they make a new cellular copy, the receptors, those little hairs that recognize the virus, mutate slightly in the hope that the receptor recognizes the virus more effectively. It's like going from straight hair to curly hair, let's say. This process of receptor refinement and proliferation, it repeats and it results in thousands of new B and T cells that can recognize this virus more strongly and precisely than the original cell starting the process. So after weeks of these cells training, we've produced a large, highly trained fighting force in our bodies ready to respond to this viral threat. Some of these cells jump straight into the fight. These are what are known as effector B and effector T cells. While other cells, they wait and kind of watch the fight. They're fans. They're sitting in the crowd. They're memory B and memory T cells. Now, effector B cells and T cells, they play different roles in our protection. Effector B cells produce those antibodies that bind and neutralize the virus, which stops it from invading our cells. Now, understand that antibodies can't neutralize a virus that's hidden inside a cell, where it can multiply until the body is completely overwhelmed and there's nothing we can do about it. Now, this is where the killer T cells come into play. They look for viral proteins within our cells and instruct these infected cells to die before signaling innate immune cells to eat the dying cell, thereby destroying the viral particles. If you look under a microscope as this is happening, it's absolutely amazing. It's astonishing. Assisting all these defenses are the T helper cells. Remember those guys? They were watching. The signals, T helper cells, they release, they instruct the killer T cells to activate, the B cells to mutate and to proliferate, and innate immune cells to clean up the mess. Does that make sense? So they've said, all right, charge. And then they go and they charge, they kill the virus, and then together, the innate immune cells clean up that mess. Okay. All the cells together and their proteins work as a team. That's what needs to be happening in our bodies. Once the viral threat has been eliminated, the effector B and T cells are often allowed to fade away, making space and resources available for other immune cells to respond for the next threat. However, training these viruses, once you've trained them, it doesn't go to waste. The memory B cells have successfully cleared the virus. They may lead to a pool of helper T and killer T cells that are ready to respond to future viral threats. So in fact, the most recent evidence suggests that some people who are asymptomatically infected by the virus might only develop T cell responses. So while these people might not have any antibodies, they may still be immune to the coronavirus. The lack of an antibody response in some asymptomatic cases has had profound implications for the current status of the pandemic in the last week. The CDC estimated that only 6% of Americans have been infected by coronavirus. Now, this is a long way from the 60 to 80% of Americans we need infected for herd immunity. But that CDC estimate was based solely on studies accounting for antibodies and not those who have T cells that may make them immune. Now, that means the CDC might be undercounting the total number of Americans who are immune to the virus if these T cell responses prove to be protective. It means that we might be closer to herd immunity than the 6% statistic suggests. Okay. Now, that would be some good news in a horrible year. Unraveling these immunological mysteries, it takes time. We're only 6 months into understanding how our body defends itself from any virus, let alone this one. The data is slowly emerging, and while there's going to be a continual refinement of our understanding of the immune processes that defend us, I'm starting to see patterns in the data that give us hope a little bit in the recovery from infection that might lead to sustained protection from reinfection. Again, a lot of this hasn't happened yet within our bodies. And because we are unsure of this virus and its direction, this is hopeful. This is all hopeful information. But nonetheless, it's good to have a little hope. Build up them T cells. And later on this week, I'm going to try and get Dr. Anita Wong back in here next week at some point. And we'll talk about that. We'll get into a discussion because that's very important. The fact that we don't have a vaccine yet, and the fact that we may not achieve herd immunity, the T cell information is very important. 8:40 is the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Nerdy enough for you?